Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, just one of the many NFL writers out there talking about Mike McCarthy and like running before like the announcement came that he and Dallas were done because they couldn't come to terms on another deal. Mm-hmm. And they were going through McCarthy's record and like listing the good and the bad. And the insinuation in the tweet was like, well, it probably is time to maybe let Mike McCarthy walk. And I'm thinking, these numbers and all these stats look better than Mike Tomlin's.
The only thing Tomlin has on McCarthy is that, well, two things. He has one more Super Bowl trip. He went to two. Mike's only been to one.
Mike beating him head-to-head, and true. Mike's only won, probably a nice feather in that
and,
cap.
And Mike's floor is higher than McCarthy's. When McCarthy loses his quarterback like he did with Aaron Rodgers 1 year in Green Bay, and the Steelers took advantage of that in 17 and beat them, and then this
barely,
year...
They barely beat
Brett
Hundley.
And then this year, you know, they have a losing season when that happens. That's really the key difference. McCarthy, I think, is a better coach for today's NFL because he gets the offensive side of the game better. They were the highest scoring offense in the NFL in 2023, the Dallas Cowboys. Now, they crapped themselves in the playoffs, so in that respect, they're very similar. But you're right, the two guys should basically be talked about the same exact way
but
by
only,
the national
only
media.
Only one gets talked about well, the way I, McCarthy get. You know. It's starting to change slowly. Slowly.
The thing I don't get about the Steelers' insistence on Mike is that he now does not have the profile of the type of coach that they've won with. Noel was in his 40s when he won his Super Bowls. Bill was in his 40s when he won his Super Bowl. Mike's in his 50s now. Mm-hmm. He's not a young coach anymore. He's the longest tenured coach in the NFL. When you're in one place for as long as he's been, you take on power. You turn into more of a football czar. It doesn't get spread out evenly throughout the organization. You're making more money.
Your preferences and desires get baked into the process.
Yes, exactly.
You don't strip authority from a coach that's been around as long as the Steelers have had him around because when you do... The coach just says, you know what, I'll walk.
I think the key, and I don't think this was necessarily true of when he won in 08, but this organization is just so badly in need of new ideas.
A new approach, a new philosophy, an acknowledgement that what they've been doing isn't working.
And people might, I think the comeback to that is, well, really, it just boils down to the quarterback. Get a good quarterback, and all of your problems are washed away. But that new philosophy or new energy or new outlook, I think, helps you find and develop the right quarterback. I have no faith in what they're doing now and who they have in charge is going to be able to groom one or get more out of a player than the team that he like these reclamation projects, for example. I have no confidence that they would be able to do that with someone.
Why does anybody think like Kirk Cousins would come here and somehow magically not be a guy who got benched this past year?
You can't allow yourself. I know fans are emotional and think with their heart more than their head sometimes. It's closer to game day. There's a playoff game on the horizon. They start to want to think that things will happen. Yes.
Anything can happen in the playoffs. Stranger things have happened. The Steelers beat the Colts after they got killed by him in the regular season.
It's this hoping as a methodology thing that they've now become synonymous with.
You're saying the organization itself.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's what fans are left with. It's not like their status or their place in the football ecosystem, like trying to climb the ladder to become a great team.
Yeah.
It's not based on anything they actually, it's not based on what they have. It's not based in like facts. It's not based in, okay, player X or unit Y, like this defense or this offense or this quarterback or this coach are going to be able to get us there.
There's nothing empirical.
Yes, exactly.
There's nothing objective. It's basically you can bleep in one hand and wish in the other.
And right, so I just don't think, I don't think a coach who's been here with one team for so long is going to shake it up and turn into something different.
Tony, that's the real problem. That's the real problem. Does he or does anybody there, but really Mike, because he's not getting fired. So like when we always talk about that, I don't even feel like entertaining too much of that. People want to say he should be. That's fine. I agree. It should be. It's past time. But deal in reality for a second. He's not going anywhere. Does anybody think that he has any reason to feel like the way he did things this year is flawed? Because if you're Mike Tomlin, you know what you can easily tell yourself? We made it to the playoffs, we had a couple bad games, and we just had a bad game at the wrong time. He can rationalize his failures away very, very easily, particularly with no actual threat from the owner's box that he's going to lose his job.
I just think that if there's such an opportunity here, given the teams that need coaches and would desire a coach who has the track record of never being bad. Not being good lately, but never being bad. Under contract for 3 more years, at least trying to get something done with the Bears or the Jets or somebody like that, and getting picks back that would help your team. And then I know that they don't have a quarterback answer, but their great selling point to any coach that they would hire is, look at how we treat our coaches.
We never fire you.
So
if you're good, you're going to have this job for 20 years if you want.
So Ben Johnson's taken all these interviews. I think he would automatically look at the Steelers as the best place to land because job longevity. They're going to give me power.
They're going to let me probably have a big hand in picking my next quarterback. I will get to design the offense.
If somebody was forward thinking in the owner's box,
he's terrified
of
the idea.
They would think of something
but
like
Pony,
that.
He's petrified of the idea that he would be seen as the owner who traded Mike Tomlin.
Agreed.
Right? He's petrified. That supersedes any other voice that's telling him that this is a good idea.
So I brought that up, and you just brought it up too. You said of being seen as the guy that traded Mike Tomlin. Seen by who? And I hate to say this way. Like his father and grandfather from the grave? Like
I think the national media, like the people that are still very pro Tomlin and because you know these people are still out there. You'll get a Kyle Brandt occasionally, or even Stephen A. Smith today was going after Mike. But the body politic here of national media types would be like, can you believe Art Rooney traded Mike Tomlin? The Chicago Bears, for example, just got an unbelievable coach.
But if they got if it's like the Sean Payton trade, and they get a first and second round pick from a bad team, and then hire somebody like Ben Johnson. I don't think the football cognoscenti is like, man, the Steelers are really off the rails. They've lost their way.
You would hope that there would be an open mind to, wait a minute, this might be the smartest thing they've done in you know what, 10 years at least.
412-928-9370. Here's Mark in Greentree. Hello, Mark. Mark, you there? We got a lot of people that want to talk, so we got to move on to Jay. Hi, Jay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, man, I don't know how I feel. I don't know how to feel, personally.
You don't know how to feel after watching them lose six straight playoff games by an average of 2 touchdowns?
I don't know how to feel as far as, like, I don't know what's wrong with this team.
A lot.
They're trying to win a way that you can't win anymore, man. They're trying to win with defense, and that went out of style 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to, for one, our D-line, I mean, TJ and I'm just nice, don't get it wrong, but.
Yeah, TJ was really nice. He didn't have a tackle or an assisted tackle Saturday
Jay,
night.
There were rumors that TJ's face was being put on the side of milk cartons in Baltimore as the Steelers desperately tried to locate him.
Well, that's the game plan. Like, you game plan against TJ, you don't game plan against somebody else over there. I just think we just need to gut the entire thing, personally. I think
that's fine. I don't think you really are conflicted, Jay. I think you're on the right
track
here, man.
You got there. Took a little while.
Ravens rushed for almost 300 yards. That's something they have to look at in this offseason. Probably need some changes on that football team, players and coaches, because right now that's going to stick with them for a long time. It's not that they lost, it's the manner with which they lost the football game.
Bill Cowher, if I were there, I would have said, Bill, when you say coaches, do you mean Mike Tomlin?
Do you think Bill was like fanning himself watching the Ravens run for 300 yards en route to a dominant playoff win? I mean, that had to be one of the greatest. I mean, it's the Steelers, so he's mad maybe on the inside.
That's what I mean. I think he was more mortified that he was watching his beloved Steelers, the team he grew up rooting for, the team he got the chance to coach, the team he won a Super Bowl with, get it shoved right up their keister.
Yeah, but
like that.
But still, there had to be the Alonzo Mourning part of him going, he's got to hear all of his buddies on there say it's all about the passing game, and here are the Ravens just running the rock 6 yards a carry.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I mean, if you're Art, that's on CBS, that's not on some rinky-dink podcast. That's your former coach saying they need to make coaching changes. That ain't some caller into our show saying it. That's your guy saying, yeah, I know coaching. They got a coaching problem right now, and something's got to be done about it. That will make things awkward the next time Bill comes to town and wants to do a sit-down with Tomlin before a game. Because Mike don't like that. Mike doesn't like when people, especially people with that pulpit or that power, start to say that he needs to make changes and do things differently.
So when will he accept that maybe they have a point? 10 more years without a playoff win? They go 90-80 over 10 years, 9-8 every year. Maybe toss in an 8-8-1 or a 7-7-3.
That's a good point.
Like, how long?
That he has to be frustrated. He said, these are my bags to tote.
He said, I tote them happily. No, you don't. You don't win playoff games. There's nothing happy for you about that.
Oh, it's not just that. They're non-competitive.
Which I would hope that that's what I think always gets people most frustrated, Pony. It's one thing if he's losing these games like 35-34 or like they're losing in different ways, but it's always ultra close. Okay, maybe bad luck or a bounce of the ball here or there. They're not competitive. You remember what I said in the week leading up to this game that I was just worried that we wouldn't even get to watch what amounted to a real football game because it would be so lopsided? It was. That Broncos game was 31-7. That was a much more legitimate.
It should have been 10-10 at the half.
It was a much more legitimate actual football game. Even though the final score was more lopsided.
Our next listener tried to warn us. We listened. Not all of our listeners did, though. Some of them were crazy enough to pick Steelers over Ravens. Adam Crowley got caught up in the hysteria of it, apparently, and picked Steelers over Ravens. Shame on him. I'm, of course, talking about one of the queens of the PM team, and that is the great Carolyn Clinton. Hello, Carol.
Hi, guys. Hey, you know, my brother and I were talking about the Steelers the last couple weeks, and he coined it as there's a trickle-down effect. And, you know, because there's no pressure, they know that Tomlin, his job is never in jeopardy. It trickles right down to the players. And that's why you have players looking like they quit. And the last thing I'd like to say is, Steeler fans, all you have left is wishing because there's no hope.
Thank you, Carol. We've got some audio of guys in the locker room today, including Pat Freiermuth, basically saying that they made strides in progress this year, that they almost clinched a division title.
Pat did an unbelievable defense of Tomlin. Did you see this quote come out from DeFabo posted it? Pony, it's like, it's bizarre.
Well, these guys are
Pat.
Brainwashed and they want to suck up to their boss. They know their boss isn't going anywhere.
I have the utmost faith in the coaching staff. Without Coach T, we wouldn't have been able to be in the playoffs. We all love Coach T. He's a great leader, a great coach. I wish you guys could be in those meetings.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're just riveting. But whatever got said in those meetings to rally this team and get them up for the game must have went in one ear and out the other for 90% of these guys based on how they looked.
Including Pat. In that game.
Good point. Dropped the first ball.
Couldn't get 2 yards on a first down third down conversion attempt.
Honestly, I could listen to this clip. I might play it every day until the Steelers win a playoff game. What Kirk Herbstreit said.
Well, they was talking a game like this, a chess match. It's a cliche. I mean, but if this is a chess match, two grand masters.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense. But where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's nothing. They're just going through the motions. Yeah.
Wow.
That's as damning an indictment as you'll hear of them by any commentator.
Do you know how loathe former players are to levy those accusations against professional athletes while it's happening, especially? You know how hard it is to say that they're going through the motions?
That's basically the harshest critique you can put on these guys.
Right.
If you question that
was his
effort,
analysis watching
animal.
The game, and guess what? Watching from where I was, had the same thought. Love that he said it.
Well, now, I mean, again, you've got Patrick Queen's agent, I would guess, or somebody close to Patrick Queen making sure Ian Rappaport knows he had the flu. Well, I watched Cam Hayward play the week before with the flu and play like an absolute war horse against Cincinnati.
Here's Paul on the fan. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, I think about 3 years ago, I made a
Paul,
comment.
Paul, hold on a second. You aren't you the guy that called in and said that Shelton basically was a complete moron? Do I hear the same voice here?
Yeah, the same voice. I mean,
I like your takes on things. Let's hear it. Yep.
Yeah, there's one common denominator. About 3 years ago, I called in and I said Trent Richardson, a.k.a. Najee Harris, should be on the bench, and Jaylen Warren should be starting. Okay, I turned out to be right about that. I think I called in last spring and said, we're going to be here a year from now. We still aren't going to have a quarterback. But I called in recently and said, until Mike Tomlin's gone, we're never winning anything. And after watching that embarrassment that Tomlin calls a football game on Saturday, if Junior's grandfather was alive, he'd fire his grandson for orchestrating the kind of garbage he sees on national TV. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Chuck Noll was told, you got to get rid of some coaches.
Yes, he was, including Tony Dungy. That's exactly right.
And I also think Cowher was given the same basic ultimatum, but maybe not too public.
It was a power struggle with Tom Donahoe in Cowher's case.
Yeah, and Tom Donahue, you're absolutely right. But you know, this is painful. I'm a kid that watched Franco and Joe Green and Chuck Noll, and I remember Ernie Holmes shooting at cars on the turnpike. You know, I mean, where is your pride?
Those were the real Steelers back then.
And Mike Tomlin has ruined everything for you, is what it sounds like.
I'm gonna tell you what, if Art Jr. had a little bit of cojones in him, he'd fire Tomlin and eat the $40 million or whatever the hell it is, because Tomlin's trash.
Thank you, Paul.
I was a kid watching Franco Harris, Joe Green, Chuck Noll, and Ernie Holmes shooting at cars on the turnpike.
Oh, man, I need levity like that on a day like this. More of your calls coming up at 412-928-9370. We appreciate them on a day like this for sure. Because many of them are expressing some of the thoughts and opinions that I think we all need to hear after another miserable watch in the playoffs. .3:30, the Monday after a Steelers game. In this case, a Steelers loss that ends it in ignominious fashion yet again. And at 3:30, it's time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Donnie is quickly going to give you his real game balls for the game, and then he's going to get into the deflated balls, the three worst performances by Steelers players.
So I don't do this one often. I think I did it for one game last season, if you recall.
If you will.
Yeah, I'm going to give the third game ball to the five big fellas up front for the Ravens. Those guys setting the tone. They made so many Steelers defenders pretty much irrelevant in this game. A whole lot of no-shows on that side of it. And they were out there for, what, almost 80 plays the Ravens had offensively. So those guys get game ball number three.
The big boys. Rosengarten, who said he said to Myles Garrett when he asked him for his jersey, I know I'm just a nobody. I think he's a somebody to TJ Watt.
Definitely is now. I mean, we get another goose egg from the Steelers' highest paid player.
Four playoff games, one total sack for TJ Watt in playoff games. That ain't cutting it.
Have you seen this man? $500 reward to get TJ Watt visible in the playoffs.
Game ball number two.
LaMarvelous gets number two. 175, two touchdowns through the air.
And guess
81
what?
81 on the ground.
He was in total control of that football game. Total control.
Like he did not have a single slip up in the game.
The head games, the mental mastery that the Steelers had over him.
See ya.
Poof, gone.
Pony, welcome to the party, pal. Although it really did happen authoritatively in this game, so in a way you weren't wrong.
Game ball number one.
King Henry. I mean, the man, he's a man amongst boys against some of those Steelers defenders. It was funny, too, because during pregame, and I got to take this shot at Kabali during the game, he said, well, I can promise you this, Henry won't run for 162 again. And during the game, I said, you were right, Mark. He's going to run for a whole lot more. 186.
You know, one of the things about Minka specifically is that I feel like is true. I think he's much more of a tough guy, too, on that team usually than, like, people think about. They always think he's so cerebral, but he's, like, a tough dude. That stiff arm, the replays of that are just insane, man. He gets, like, smacked so hard, it's like he's like a kid getting hit by his older brother into the next dimension.
Let's see if that play and series of plays got Minka on Donnie's list for deflated balls.
Now, how do we want to do this? 3-1 again?
The least deflated to most deflated ball. Worst player is first.
All right,
worst player is the last one you say.
Okay, I'm actually going to split the third one between two guys named Pat. We love Pat Freiermuth on this show. Great dude, but he didn't bathe himself in glory for a lot of people on Saturday night. He drops the very first pass of the game.
Did that not feel ominous to both
yes,
of you?
Wow,
they took the ball. They're coming out throwing, and then it would have been an easy, 8-9 yards at least?
And then he had a couple of opportunities early to extend drives, and my man found himself short of the sticks somehow.
Two games in a row, both drops and not being able to get the extra yard to turn the churn out a first down and keep the chains moving. He did that in the Cincinnati game, and that's how that Russell Wilson botched quarterback sneak and Jaylen Warren fourth down play went belly up because he could not get the extra yard to get a fresh set of downs. So when you're paying him the money that they are now, he's got to make those plays.
And then I know that the counting stats for Pat Queen don't look all that bad. He had 10 total tackles.
And he was sick, Donnie.
He was horrible, dude.
And he was sick.
You don't have to qualify it. Everybody that watched doesn't need to look at a box score to cloud their brain. He sucked.
I mean, Cam Hayward had the flu a week earlier. He was one of the best players on the field, without question. I think I gave him one of the game balls in that
game. And also, does the flu explain how Patrick Queen has also been one of their worst defenders now, it looks like, for several games? His high watermark was the first Ravens game, and it's been downhill almost exclusively.
Here he is trying to explain this defensive performance.
I think we just got too comfortable. Started chasing too many lanes. I think we just let off the pedal in all seriousness. So, that's stuff you can't happen, and that's why we're in the position.
Yes, we got too comfortable. The team that had lost four games in a row and had gotten its ass kicked was too complacent going into this game. Great. Awesome attitude and mindset to have. Deflated ball, too.
Minka does get one for this. A lot of it because of that stiff arm play, but then the other play, middle of the third quarter, the Steelers do get on the board. Maybe for some people out there, there is a glimmer of hope. It's almost like you see a faint heartbeat from the Steelers. It's a 2nd and 20. They sack Lamar on first down, and you're actually starting to talk yourself into, well, if they get a stop here, if they get a stop here, and we see a practice squad player drag Minka Fitzpatrick about 8 yards to get a first down.
Who was that, Wallace?
I think that was the Wallace one. It felt like there were multiple.
Dude, they had.
What are we doing?
They had Steelers cast-offs in the game. Anthony Miller made a catch. I'm like, wait a minute. This dude's in the NFL? Holy bleep.
Stevie Sims.
Speaking of Steelers cast-offs, did you guys notice Diontae Johnson had even latched on with the team this weekend?
I don't think he got a rep against the.
I think he did. He had a catch.
Oh, did he? Did he run backwards?
12 yards, I think, Pony. That's more than.
Donnie.
That's more than, well, just
deflated ball number one.
TJ Watt, not even on the stat sheet. It's what, like 200 plus snaps to end the season where he had the Tony Snell line? zero, 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 zero.
That's an inside joke
that's
that
a,
I like.
That's an oh, that's an NBA.
Yeah,
that's an NBA
all you have
joke.
To do if you're listening, just look up Tony Snell NBA graphic. It'll pop up on Google Images. The man who played like 28 minutes in a game and had zero across
that
the board
awesome.
For every statistical category. You cannot get that.
I actually
from your highest paid player.
People have ripped Watt. I don't think they've ripped him enough. I don't think there's been enough venom directed at him. He is your you just said it. He is the highest paid player. With the emphasis they put on defense, which we all know is flawed fundamentally, he still should be like the elite quarterback. He's just basically been he hasn't been out there. You don't notice him. He's never pressuring. I mean, terrible. You're getting no ROI on this guy.
Here's his reaction to another playoff loss.
Losing sucks. Losing five in a row to finish the season out sucks. Felt like we had a good week of prep. Felt like we were ready for this one. I mean, you guys know more than anybody if we weren't. Didn't look. We weren't able to stop the run. Haven't been able to stop the run. Weren't able to get it fixed, so it's been a rough last month of football.
He's turned into the Mike Trout of the NFL. Where it's just big regular season numbers, accolades. But
what's his excuse? Did he have dysentery? Are we going to go with the Oregon Trail set of illnesses? Perhaps
no, the ankle scurvy? Apparently was bad. And
who said that?
The ankle was sprained.
Then why was he, if it was a bad enough injury to hamper him, why was he playing in a game like the Bengals?
Because he was chasing the Defensive Player of the Year award.
And much like all the Ravens ball carriers, it ran away from him.
Donnie's balls for the final time. 412-928-9370. Let's get to Troy in Mount Washington. I always enjoy his opinions. Hello, Troy.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, man.
So I'm going to start off by saying I'm a Tomlin guy. That does not mean I'm a Tomlin apologist. That does not mean I'm a Tomlin excuse maker. I'm a Tomlin guy because I think he brings below average teams to above average expectations each year. Even though, you know, when some of us start off hot, we think we're going to go all the way. The rosters that have been put together by him and the staff above him are just not as good as they have been. I also think that the guy that's in charge, who is not a football guy, is leaning back on what his family did and how he thinks he wants to play football, and he found himself a coach that will do exactly that. I can't put it on Tomlin that he is doing what the organization, what the guy in charge wants this team to be about. He is just playing his role. That all said, if we're going to get rid of him, you guys kind of just touched on it, it's time to start having the real hard conversations. Because if you want the best thing for this football team, you
trailed off there. Sorry,
he was just
Troy.
He was hitting the big finish, and then somebody hit him with the old phone dart. I don't know, though. I mean, I can understand he's trying to be harsh on Tomlin while saying he's a Tomlin guy, but like, he bears some of the blame, or a lot of the blame, for the roster being substandard. If that's something you believe, well, he's got his fingerprints on it. That's the old "you can't have it both ways" bit.
You can express that about their offense and the resource allocation and the players they've drafted who haven't panned out on that side of the ball and their lack of talent at wide receiver. And all of that can be used to justify why offensively they're inept in these games. Try to now convince me that they have, you know, a low baseline defensively and he gets them to overachieve.
Level.
He doesn't.
He underachieve.
And that's his calling
baby.
Card.
That's his side of the ball. That's where it's supposed. They are supposed to be a team that if they play a good offense in the playoffs with the defense they've assembled and how much they've paid it, they're supposed to be a team that holds Kansas City to like 20 points.
Bill Barnwell wrote today, the Steelers overachieved. The Steelers overachieved under Tomlin. No, they didn't. They thought they had a high ceiling because they think they've constructed the best defense in the NFL, and they still believe that defense wins championships. So in their mind, they probably thought they had a Super Bowl caliber team. In fact, I know that because it became very obvious when they went to Russell Wilson that they thought, let's just try to be the Seahawks team that won Super Bowls with Russ. He'll manage the game correctly. He'll make enough big plays. And our defense is elite. And we believe in that formula. That's why we brought him in here.
I think Bill is a very smart guy, but I just don't understand how he's able to look at the roster, claim that Mike is overachieving, and A, do that with a straight face about the defense, but then also not seemingly understand that Mike has huge input over the roster. How do you know as much about football as his writing suggests that he does and not get to that